Now, it seems that life is composed of many choices. Some decisions are somewhat arbitrary. What you decided to wear to church this morning, whether in person or online, pants or PJs, those decisions are usually not that important. Sometimes. Other decisions are important. They're significant. Especially when they have an impact for a long period of time or cost a lot of money. Buying a car or selecting a home or something of value. Those are important decisions that we should pray about. Get counsel. But there are other decisions, maybe a few life decisions that are defining moments. A few decisions that have impact not only for the rest of our life, but echo for eternity. Have an eternal future in the weight of those decisions. Some of those decisions, and the first and foremost is what are you going to choose about believing in Jesus? That's probably the ultimate defining moment is what will you do about the truth that the Bible declares that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God who took on flesh and dwelt among us, lived a sinless life so that he could be the perfect, spotless Lamb of God to die on the cross as a death substitute for our sins, and after 3 days, rise from the dead. All of this according to the Scriptures. And God makes it clear that it's a decision about Christ that determines your eternal future beyond the grave. That is a life-defining moment, a life-defining decision. But there are other ones that are defining as well, some significant ones. Career decisions. What is a path of where God is leading you based on your shape and your interests, your abilities? Those decisions will oftentimes guide you through your life and need to be made well. Another significant decision for some of us is who we're going to marry or if we're going to marry. And if so, then who and how do we make that decision? All of these kind of life-defining decisions, these critical ones, require something that is initiated to us from God. So that we would express that to others. It's one word. Love. It's God's loyal love to us that moves us to make critical, life-determining decisions in how we will live, who we will love, and whether we'll live forever in God's presence or separated from Him forever. You know, in the book of Ruth, the two young women, Orpah and Ruth, are faced with a significant, major, life-determining decision. They're at a crossroads. And it's loyal love and commitment that's going to determine not only where they will spend the rest of their life on earth and how, but where and how they'll spend eternity. And Ruth, Chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, Naomi had said to both of her daughters-in-law, she said, each of you should go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness. That is the Hebrew word for loyal love. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to me, to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband. And so she kissed them and they wept loudly. Later, Naomi would sum up her status as a homeless, childless widow when she would utter these words, "The Lord has brought me back empty." A foreigner in the strange land of Moab, having no husband, no sons to provide for her, Naomi found herself in the worst possible circumstances. Without help, without any hope. Where would she live? How would she eat? How would she even survive? Well, as we talked about last week, verse 6 tells us how she repented. She heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's need by providing them food. So she left the place where she had been living. And she traveled along the road back to Judah, turning back to the Lord, to him by faith, to his place of provision, protection, safety and security under the shadow of his wings. And so along the way, somewhere along the way, Naomi turned to her two daughters-in-law and said, "You know what? You don't need to come with me. Just go home. Leave." She understood the predicament that she was in. Even though she was returning home and trusting the Lord, what she knew practically was she had no means of providing for them. No means of providing money, food, children, security, safety, nothing. "So go home," she urged them. And Orpah decided to do that. She went back to Moab. But Ruth determined at this critical moment to go with Naomi. It was a difficult life decision that determined so much, not only for her, but for generations, for the Israelites, and eventually for the world, as she was a descendant, or Jesus was a descendant of Ruth. The Bible describes how Orpah decided to leave, but Ruth decided to cleave, all based upon a commitment of loyal love. It was really a decision of faith, we find out, to follow the Lord rather than just take care of themselves. And it determined her future, her posterity, her destiny. And it seems like in our lives as well, there are a few decided moments, a critical moment where we have a decision to make. Are we going to follow the Lord and trust him, be committed to him in loyal love? Or are we going to live life on our own, like everyone else in the time of the judges, who did what seemed right to them? Whatever seemed right in their eyes, what was most logical based on circumstances or experience or data, or trust by a loyal, faithful commitment. Well, we see, first of all, in verse 14 of Orpah, her decision was to leave. Verse 14, again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She went back home. Faced with the decision, she said goodbye and returned to Moab. And Orpah, who went back home, was influenced, first of all, in her decision to leave because of people. And that's often the case when we make decisions based on our circumstances rather than by faith and commitment. Difficult decisions to live for ourselves often involve other people. The scriptures say that she went back to her people. That's what Naomi said in verse 15. "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people." She returned to Moab. Naomi was not just returning to her family in Bethlehem, but she was returning to the people of God. But Orpah chose her people rather than the people of God. Secondly, we see her decision often reveals our priorities. And for Orpah, her priority was not the priorities of God, but of herself. What she was familiar with, what she knew, what was certain in her eyes. That's what Naomi said. Look, your sister-in-law, Ruth, has gone back not only to her people, but to her gods. The idolatry, where the people of Moab, who were the enemies of Israel, because not only of their rejection of God, but their refusal to help the people of God when they entered the promised land. Their initial history as descendants of Lot was based on sexual incest. And that sexuality, that selfishness, that sinfulness was a part of their culture, was a part of their world. And Orpah decided she was more comfortable with that. Orpah decided to go back to her idolatry. And nothing else is ever said about her again. She chose to go back to what is familiar. And so she wept, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and left. You know, it seems to me that Orpah's decision to leave could be described simply as selfish. She was just thinking about herself. In contrast, however, Ruth's decision was based on sacrifice, selflessness. When her mom said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods, follow your sister-in-law, verse 16, Ruth replied, don't plead with me to abandon you or return and not follow you. Maybe the most famous verse in all of this book is wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Ruth's decision, a decision of faith, was based on her loyal commitment, not just to Naomi, but to her God, to the God of Israel, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all creation, the King of glory. For Ruth, the decision was to cleave. And certainly she would have felt the pull to go back, but she decided to go on with Naomi by faith, by sacrifice, and made the decision to cleave. You know, when we make similar life-defining decisions based on commitment and loyal love, we find that these decisions of faith require some dedication, require some sacrifice. And the key to Ruth's decision emerges right here in this section, in her commitment, not only to Naomi, but her commitment to the Lord. It was her faith in the Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am. The one who said to Moses in the burning bush, it's me. And throughout history, faith has always been the key. Faith of godly people committed to loyal love of the Lord first and of others. A life not of selfishness, but a life of sacrifice, of taking the place of a servant, bending our will to the Lord's, and doing what is in the best interest of others. Those are the people that God uses. And God clearly uses Ruth, even though at the moment it's not apparent and it's not clear. It's not Ruth's origin. It's not Ruth's birth certificate. It's not her background. But it's her faith in the Lord and her commitment to Naomi that makes her useful to God building his kingdom. In these decisions of faith and dedication, we see the importance of friendship in making great decisions. This is the first thing we notice about the decision Ruth made, that she clung to Naomi. She wouldn't let go where Orpah left. not without tears and not without difficulty in the decision, but she still left. But Ruth, out of friendship and love and kindness, clung to Naomi. The Hebrew word here for clung to refers to this ideal closeness, the commitment, the dedication, the sacrifice of self for the well-being of others. Obviously, it's a term that is used often in the marriage relationship. That in Genesis, we read, this is the reason that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. A dedicated commitment and closeness, a loyal love that is there. Denoting a deep personal friendship. And defining moments in our lives, whether it's for following Christ or for choosing a career or counsel in getting married. Those kind of defining decisions always involve friendships and commitment. There's also the influence of family. Not only was her decision a part of friendship, but she said to Naomi, your people, the family of God, will be my people. She identified not only with Naomi personally, but with her people, the family of God. And Ruth was willing to break down the age-old barrier of enmity between the Israelites and the Moabites. There was certainly some racial conflict that was going on here that she was willing to sacrifice and to serve others, to break down the wall by loving Naomi. Yeah, defining decisions are influenced by family, especially those who are part of the family of God, who encourage us and hold us accountable to live not according to what we think is right, but live according to God's word. The priorities of Scripture, of faith, hope, and love. Knowing all along that the greatest of these things and how we make decisions is based not just on truth, but on love, commitment, dedication. And maybe the foundation of this friendship and the family is Ruth's individual devotion to God. And it's the same for us. That there's a point where other people can't make decisions for us. They can influence us. They can encourage us. They can hold us accountable. But eventually it comes down to us. Making the decision. Making the choice to say, I will. I choose. I'm going to. Regardless of circumstances, of difficulties, of struggle. You know, it's really easy for us to think that this choice was easy for Ruth. But based on every circumstance, she was a widow who was still grieving, who had lost her brother-in-law also, who was the next line of defense for her. She had no father-in-law either. Naomi, although a close friend and family, she offered her really no hope. And so in these life-defining moments, like Ruth, it takes an individual devotion to God, personal faith in Him. The most important thing impacting her decision to cleave to Naomi is when Ruth said, your God will be my God. Which it seems somewhere along the road, somewhere between the time that she was married and lost her husband and traveled the road with Naomi, she came to saving faith and trusted the God of Israel and His faithfulness and His promises and His loyal love. Somewhere in the process of a relationship, Naomi had come to know the true and the living God and trusted Him by faith. And so she decided to leave behind the idols of Moab and find her identity, find her security, find her life in the God of Israel. And to trust Him alone. And she had this desire to be with God's people, and to dwell in God's land. And through this, she desired to sacrifice her self-interest for the interest of Naomi and to follow the Lord by faith. You know, some of these decisions may seem easy theoretically and hypothetically, but when it comes right down to these decisions that are life-changing, including the decision whether or not to trust the Lord and to trust Him alone, in the heat of the moment, in the time of a crisis, it's difficult. They're often clouded. Sometimes, as we're looking to make decisions of faith that are difficult, it's our past that may be against us, our experiences, our family, where we were born, the culture that we grew up in, the people that influenced us. For Ruth, she had a birth certificate embossed with the name Moab. She was an enemy of Israel. And yet she still made a clear decision of commitment and loyal love. She had been cradled and raised in a home without the Lord God, Yahweh. She had been schooled in the worship of an immoral, sexual god, where child sacrifice was the norm and was culturally acceptable. She had a past, and she had no background for her new life with Naomi. But whatever our background, whatever our experiences, whatever our past, whether we've been anti-God, anti-faith, anti-church, anti-anything, God can still use us when we choose to trust Him by faith and to walk with Him in loyal love. Sometimes our present circumstances are against us. For Ruth, her present circumstances at the time of her decision did not have evidence that God was good, that God would provide. Everything that she valued, everything that previously she had found her sense of identity, her security, her safety, her worth, God had stripped that all away. A widow, grieving, with no source of income and no hope of income. I think we would give her a pass and show some grace of saying, hey, it's okay, Ruth, you know, I understand. Man, what God has put you through, what God has put Naomi through, it's been hard. But it's in the middle of that. It's in the middle of that chaos that Ruth says, wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. And I trust Him. If she returned to Bethlehem with Naomi, she would be leaving everything that was familiar, everything that was comfortable, everything that was known to her, so that she would step out in faith with the Lord. Oftentimes, our past is against us. Our present circumstances cloud our circumstances and our ability to trust the Lord. But in all of this, like Naomi, our future is before us. Of what a loving, loyal, faithful God can do when we walk with Him by faith and trust Him and love Him through circumstances, through illness, through cancer, through loss, maybe through a divorce, whatever it might be, that we can choose to trust the Lord by faith like Ruth. Because it seems that difficult life decisions require commitment to the Lord and His people. All of this based on God's loyal love, because He loved us first. And one of the things that is most encouraging, especially when we look at Ruth's past, when we look at her present at the time, and anticipate her future, is how loving and how good God is. And this is certain, based on the promises of God, that decisions of faith Decisions of commitment to God and his loyal love are always rewarded. Decisions of faith, regardless of what we've experienced in the past, regardless of what we're going through in the present, relationally or circumstantially, that when we choose to walk with God by faith, he promises that we are always rewarded. And that's the case with Ruth. Verse 18, we pick up, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped talking to her. And the two of them traveled until they came to Bethlehem. But maybe the most important verse is found describing her decision from Boaz a little bit later in the story. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. Actually, let's start in verse 11. Boaz answered her, "Everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and mother and your native land, and how you came to a people you didn't previously know." And he says, "May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth trusted the Lord for her future, regardless of all the fears of her past and the circumstances of her present. She trusted in the Lord and placed her life and her future in his hands. And since, like Paul Harvey, we know the rest of the story, she went on to become the grandmother, the great-grandmother of David. And even in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, Ruth is included as one of the few women with a sketchy past who were rewarded and honored as being a part of Jesus' lineage. The promise of reward is frequently repeated by Jesus throughout the Gospels as he walked on the land with his disciples. He frequently talked about our reward. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the great promises of reward. The author says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. And that's exactly what Ruth had. The reality of what she hoped for, but the proof of what she had not yet seen. She saw it by faith and trusting the Lord. The author of Hebrews says in verse 2, For by it, by faith, our ancestors won the approval of God. Verse 6 in Hebrews 11. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. All of those listed here in Hebrews 11 were approved by God because of their decisions of faith at defining moments when God used them for his glory, provided for their good. And even those who didn't receive the reward on earth received it in heaven. And that's our hope. As we make life-defining decisions, that God is good. He's loyal in his love. He's faithful in his truth. And he rewards those who walk with him, not by experience, not with what they see and feel and experience, but by faith in his promises, in the things that are not yet. Maybe you're at a crossroads today, a defining moment. Defining moment of decision in your life. What will you choose? Maybe down the road, how will you decide? It seems that the difficult decisions, like Ruth's decision, require commitment to the Lord based on his loyal love that's demonstrated in loving others. Eternal decisions require faith in Jesus Christ alone. In 1 John 4, John tells us this. He says, love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Maybe you're at a defining moment today. What will you do about Jesus? Will you trust him by faith? Will you choose to trust that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures, and that he promises you an eternal reward with him in heaven? What's keeping you from trusting him today? Maybe you've got more questions. Well, come fire them at me. Let me point you back to God's word and the examples of others in addition to Ruth who walked with God by faith and received the promise of eternal life with God by knowing Jesus as their Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've already decided to follow Jesus by faith, but you've got some big decisions that need to be made. Decisions that need to be made in relationships, or decisions that need to be made in your job or career. Decisions that need to be made in your service to the Lord. How will you make those decisions? Will they be made by self-interest, like Orpah? Or decisions made by sacrifice and commitment and the loyal love of God himself? You know, before the time of Judges, when the book of Ruth was written, Joshua said to the people of God, choose for yourself today. Who will you worship? Where will you find your identity? Where will you find your security? Where will you find your worth? In idols? Or in God himself alone? As for me and my family, we choose the Lord.